We've got here on a transcript of the honours boards, you know, that mm-hmm. are in the Lion's Den now. And let me put the ones in front of you for the first couple of seasons you played for the club, just so, you know, to act as a trigger to your memory, although it doesn't need much triggering so far. just for you to comment on, you know, sort of what, you know, tell us about your fellow teammates.
Well, I really, it was one of the questions I was sort of dreading, because of where you, you know, it's like when you somebody will say to you, "Oh, what was your ideal 15?" Right? And I was one I was going to jib out on, because I, you know, there were so many good players. Every one of those was there for a long time, and whether you start at the top, which was Dick Smith, the captain, and you go down to Roy Morris, who was. You were a digger, that was his son. Just going on the list there, it was a great honour to play with them, and it was quite surprising. The first night I went down training, I didn't know what to expect, and one of the names on there, Terry Opson, I went out onto the field, and it was late on in the training session, probably towards the end, he started putting some balls up for me. And he could kick a ball. And it was quite it was a damp night. I wouldn't say it was raining, but it was damp. I never caught one. I dropped every ball he put up. I don't think there was any I didn't get to, so I can't even make that as an excuse. Because he put them up, so I could catch them, or literally. But I dropped every one. And I came away from there thinking, oh, God, have I made the right decision yet? But there was only one other player. Two, in fact. Hiller was another. When the ball came down, it felt as if it had 100 weight on top of it. And it came down with the same sort of force it went up. And it was, I don't know if it was just me, but it was, you know, very difficult. But I remember when we talked about Hiller, we went to Harlequins, and I didn't have a particularly good game that day. But it was like a football. No wonder he could kick goals. And it was so hard. Because I think there was a story like with Don Rutherford, where they used to, you know, put the balls in the water down in Whitney to make them, you know, much more difficult to kick. And then certain kickers I knew had to have a certain pressure. At home you could do it, but if you're away, you know, these are either too hard, too soft, or whatever. Yeah. But you know, when I go back to the board again, I mean, John Spalding was very underrated. And a lot of players followed, which I think is too much overemphasised these days, what they call legends or what they call the modern players. But where you look at some of these, I would think these would come into the real category of legends.
Tell us about Dick Smith as captain and player.
Dick, I mean, he was ever so quick off the back of the scrum. And his handling was superb, and he had a hell of a sidestep on him for a back row forward. In fact, I saw him just over a week ago. I didn't see him for about 25 years, and we ended up at, he was at a dinner and dance, and I turned up with a school, and I went out for a drink, and I spent most of the time talking to Dick, and he was telling me this, and he said, "Oh yeah," he said, "I remember when I caught you out." And he played for, I think it was a public school, Wanderers, in the centenary year against Gloucester, or one of those games we played. And he said, it was a tour game that we were saving to go to a tour, and we had Gerald Davis and Gareth Edwards played in the fog. And he reminded me that he outdid me underneath the post. He gave me one of his famous dummies, and I took it. But yeah, he was very, very quick. And it was another story we were talking to him about, and he said, because he actually kicked a goal against Pontypool, we won 3-0. It was a horrible, talk about violent, I never seen anything like it. And I said to him, "Yeah, I remember it well, Dick." I said, because I said, "If you'd have connected with that guy, you'd have killed him." And he said, "Yeah, you kicked him and kicked him in, you know, but." It was just one of those things. It was such a violent game in some of the Welsh sides that we were no different when we went there or they came to us. It was, you know. But yeah, he was exceptional. And Bob Clusey was there for a long time. And, you know, one of the, I don't know if he still is he still the leading try scorer?
Yes, he is.
You know, so, I mean, and I think he was lucky that, and a lot of players have been lucky with not so many injuries. And that helps to obviously keep you going. John Spalding was, well, it was a shame that he was in the same era as Mickey Booth because he was never accepted by the crowd. A great player to play with, but, you know, and then you know, I can go on down through there, you know.
Please do.
Well, Andrew Fielding, his dad, Fielding Platts, yeah. I think he went off to Australia. He wasn't with us for very long. But what was he, 6 foot plus, good player in his own right. I don't know how many games he had. I wouldn't have thought it would have been too many. And the late Gary White, I'm not sure if he played for Somerset.
Captain Somerset,
yeah,
even Captain Somerset at Kings.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I know there was something to do with Old Centralia. Now, whether he was an Old Centralia, I'm not sure, but I know his brother-in-law was big at Old Sense when I was there, and I know he had something to do with Old Sense, like Nichols is in Old Sense. And he obviously got John Order, was a good winger, came from Stone the Wold. John Dix, well, DC never used to say it a lot, but what he said always good. John Bayliss, again, played like. He was one of the best centres I played with for the way of my style of play, because we used to have a move we used to call Miss Two, where he would be inside centre and miss out the outside centre to me coming in, and it was such a great pass. And in the end, all I said to him, John, just put it in the gap and I'll find it. Well, I didn't have to because it was there all the time, so that would brought me coming in at pace. Yeah, and it was great to play with him and with his style of play. He was usually going in, like, you know, with his arm up, took no prisoners. Yeah, and then of course you had the front row with Nichols, Cowling and Burton, uncompromising in every way. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of others, and when you get something like this, it's, you know, as I said, if you miss somebody out, it's not because I want to, but there's just so many there.
Yeah.
But to turn out, like I mentioned earlier, Keith Richardson and Jim Jarrett playing for Dorset Wilts against Gloucestershire, you know. And it was one thing I would never ever do, and never ever did, play against Gloucester. And I had opportunity, I had a couple of opportunities, and I wouldn't take it. And I even remember, you know, some sides used to turn up your first team game and didn't have a full side. Leicester turned up one day, and I think Jerry Erman played for him, I think it was Leicester. And he told him a move that we used to say. I didn't tell him again, but it was that type of thing, you know, you get them sort of in. Capsulated in everything that was going on, and if you were playing, you were playing for whatever side you were. But there was no way I was going to ever play for anybody else once I played there, other than going back to local.
What were the opportunities you had then to play elsewhere?
I was asked to go to Cheltenham. I'm pretty certain there was some talk about Bristol, but no, wasn't interested. But, I didn't have a car, so I couldn't drive, and.
Now, your second season, and it was Mike Nichols took over as captain. And of course, you played right through the period when Mike Nichols was captain. Tell us about him as captain and player.
Well, fantastic captain. Very, very hard on himself and the team. If you didn't perform, you wouldn't be in. Gruff, growling, you know, it was just a dream really to be in the side, and when you had a team talk, you know, you were virtually foaming at the mouth. And I remember we went up to Leicester I think that was a county day. I wasn't in the county then. And we had a young player from Lydney, I think David Crabbe played. And he gave this team talk. And Crabbe said after us, he said, if he'd have told me to jump out of the window, he said, I would have done it.
Yeah.
I mean, it was so, you know, full on, that you couldn't do anything but give your best when you got out there. And as a leader, and he wouldn't take any prisoners on the field either, and there was no compromise. You know, if somebody, as he would call it, or dig or something like that, then they got it. But and then I'd say, all right, they were a hard physical bunch, but we played some good rugby as well. So
yeah. You know. We've had one or two players from that era tell us that they went onto the pitch more frightened of Mike Nichols than they were of the opposition.
Yeah, until you actually got going, then you got into the game. But you know, you come out, especially at King's home, because you knew not only if you didn't perform for him, you had the crowd on you. You could have got your crowd on your back. But certainly away, he was no different away. Expected the best, and I think rightly so. You know, but he was more for more loud about it, let's put it that way, and more aggressive about it, but nothing but admiration and a great leader, and again, as a captain, I would think, certainly in my mind, because obviously I played there at the time, but I don't think there was a better captain. Gloucester's ever had a better captain.
Yeah, there's lots of people who share that view with you.
And maybe it was because, as well, that there was a good team around it as well, and it was a good era to be playing at Gloucester. I don't know, that's for others to decide, but that's how I feel about it.
What was your relationship with the King's Home crowd, the Shed in particular?
Well, I think it was very good. In fact, I think it was better than that. I can't ever remember anybody shouting abuse. And I don't know, his colour of hair and it was just the way I played and taking any size on. I as I mentioned, we won a two players, you know. They didn't, because of either history, past history, or they took over from what we call a legend of the Gloucester team. But I would think I had a really, really good, and I can't say enough about that. Every time I played there, you know, and I think it was because like I said, the size, because I wasn't particularly big in terms of fullbacks or size at all, and
youth, of course, too.
Well, yeah, obviously,
when you came in, obviously, size,
yeah. But even right through to the end, when I finished, I can't ever, you know, even if I had a poor game, probably a bad game, I never had anybody get onto me.
No. Well, I think the Shed saw you as something a bit different. Yeah. I mean, you know, a fullback who attacks from deep.
Yeah.
We hadn't had a player like that for a while.
Yeah, and that's what I do. You know, I really think that it was a different start, because they hadn't long got rid of the kicking between the 22s. You know, you couldn't kick directly into touch, which some of these players had still been doing until they changed the Australian way of no kicking directly into touch between the 22. So, but that made it, for me, that was my type of game, because I was more of a running, because I couldn't kick so well. So, better ball in hand, and, you know, apart from when I kicked it and chased it. But, yeah,